Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your grace, love, and mercy. Thank you, Lord, for your strength that is giving us victories. Thank you for impossible things you have made possible in our lives. Thank you for enforcing your will and desires upon our lives and decisions and thoughts and deeds and activities. Thank you, Father. We also thank you for your blessings that we have received, physical blessings and spiritual blessings you have lavishly poured upon our lives. Thank you, Lord. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. We thank you for you have put an end to oppression in our lives. You have destroyed all the attacks of the enemy that were fashioned against us. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for filling our hearts with faith and for being faithful to our faith, because as we demonstrated faith, as we apply our faith, you have been faithful to our faith. You have shown us your faithfulness. Thank you, Father. We also thank you for the Bible study classes we have been doing on this platform every Tuesday evening. We thank you for how much of your knowledge you have poured out into our hearts and minds. We thank you for how you set us free through the knowledge of your truth. We thank you for how you transform us, how you edify us through the knowledge of your truth, even through the revelations of your word. Thank you, Lord. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. Father, we have come together again this moment to learn from you, not from man, but from you. I ask, O Lord, that you speak expressly by your Holy Spirit to everyone that will be listening to this teaching in Jesus' name. I pray for you that you will not be distracted. I pray for you that everything the Lord has for you at this time shall be released into your life from his throne in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, because we know you will do beyond our expectations. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. Yeah. We are going to continue. We are going to continue from where we stopped. You know that we have been considering the title or the theme that says how to build a strong discerning spirit, or building a strong discerning spirit. So we are going to continue from there. I'll be talking on the last point in part one. Because the part one says the origin, capacity, and abilities of the human spirit. So I'll be looking at the last point in part one. Before we will now move to part two. Yeah. The last point is your real identity is your spirit. Your real identity is your spirit. Or we might also put it, we might put it in this way, that your real identity is a spirit. Yeah. Your real identity is your spirit. The spirit that is in you. Yeah. Which I call the human spirit. But sometimes I might not want to call it the human spirit, because that spirit does things that is beyond human abilities and human nature. That spirit, through Christ and through the grace of God, I mean the spirit that is in you, can do great things beyond human strength, beyond human nature, and beyond human wisdom and abilities. Yeah, so the last point we will be looking at is your real identity is your spirit, or is a spirit. Yeah. Yeah. I want us to look at the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. Genesis 2, verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Yeah. The breath of life made man a living soul. And I said that breath of life is your spirit. I've said that before. And I've also said that man is not alive, or man was not alive. Man was just nothing or lifeless until this breath of life entered into him. Yeah. And then it is, or life entered into man, that man became a living soul or a living being. Yeah, so the real man is the breath of life that came from God. The real man is the breath of life that came from God. Yeah, though there were other things that man is constituted of. Yeah, but without the breath of life, there would not be any man. Yeah, there are other things God has done with the dust of the ground. Yeah, it's more like it's more like how manufacturers manufacture things, and then those things are just there, functionless. Those things are just there and cannot function until they put maybe the battery or the engine or something. Yeah. So, there are other things that constitute the nature of a man. Yeah. But the main thing is that breath of life. The main thing is the breath of life that made man a living soul. It is the breath of life. For instance, if a car does not have an engine, it cannot walk, it cannot even move. Even if a car has an engine but does not have a fuel, it cannot move. Yeah. And it cannot walk. Yeah. So, man was created with many things before the breath of life came into him. Yeah, but those things were not man. Yeah, those things were not man. Yeah, they were just there, waiting for the breath of life to come in so that they can start functioning as they should. So man was lifeless and dead until the breath of life from God entered into him, and then he became a living being. So, which means that without the breath of life, man will continue to be dead and lifeless. Yeah, your real identity are not those things that were dead and lifeless before the breath of life came into you and you became a living being. Yeah, your real identity is not the way you look like when you decide to view yourself in a mirror. Your real identity is not that person you see in the mirror. Yeah, when you look at the mirror, that is not your real identity. Yeah, your real identity is not what the doctor sees. Let's say the doctor is checking you, like running a scan on your body or running some medical diagnosis, some laboratory tests. Yeah, those are not your real identity. They are part of you, but they are not your real person. Yeah, they are not your real person, but they are part of you. Your real identity is not the person that the doctor sees when the doctor is performing a surgical operation. Maybe you are going to have a surgery or whatever. Yeah, that is not your real you. That is not the real you. Yeah. the real you is inside the breath of life that God released into what He formed from the dust of the ground. The real you is inside that breath of life. Yeah. The real you is inside that breath of life. And the other thing that constitutes man, you know, the feelings, the emotions, your body structure, your blood, body organs, yeah, all of those things, they are just to work for the real you. Yeah, the real you is a spirit, is unseen, is invisible. So that is the confusion of science. Yeah, because science are trying to tell you that you are what we see, what people around you see, or what you yourself see in the mirror. Science is trying to tell you that you are that person. But God is saying that you are not that person, that whatever you see is just a container carrying your real person. Yeah, so your body is just a container. Your brain is just a container. So even though we use our brain to think, we use our brain to feel, we use our brain to react to things, we use our brain to talk, even our brain is not us. Even your brain is not you. Your mind is not you. The real you is still deep down there. Very deep down there. Within, and is unseen, is invisible. Very invisible. Yeah, that is your real you. That is the real you. So the real you is a spirit. Is not flesh and blood, but a spirit being. Yeah, a spirit being. Now, when I was researching into some things, which I'm not going to give you details about what I was researching into, then I came across a documentary about how certain people are able to by their spirit control certain things that should happen in their body. Yeah. There was a lady that was able to by her spirit. Yeah, because she had trained her spirit. Though this person is not a Christian. Yeah, this person is not a Christian. So these people, they just believe in they believe in this concept that we are more than this, you know, we are more than what we look like or what we see. So this category of people, they believe that human being is more than what science says we have. Yeah, so these people, they began to work on their spirit. They are not doing it the right way. They are not doing it within the context of Christianity. They're just doing it on their own. Yeah. So that is why that was why I said I will not go into details, because it is not a practice that is entirely pure. I mean, what those people were doing, what they were researching into, is not pure. But there is something I learned from that research. So this lady was able to by her spirit control her body temperature, Yeah, because he has trained our spirit. Yeah, though not by the Holy Spirit, not according to the Bible, but by their own spiritism knowledge. Yeah. So she was able to control even how our body should feel. In fact, she was able to control her DNA through her spirit. Yeah, so the people that did that documentary, they were now saying that there are more powers in man than what many people know. Yeah, if man is willing to explore deep into his consciousness. So they call it consciousness. Yeah. So, but that is just by the way. My point is that until you begin to understand that the real you is more than what you see in the mirror, more than what goes on in your mind, until you begin to accept that, which the Bible showed us all these things. If you read the letters of Paul the Apostle, you will see all of these details there. Only that people don't read the Bible very deep to really know what is inside the scriptures. Yeah. So people just read the Bible superficially. That is why we are weak Christians, and that is why we get defeated by what is going on in this world. Because our knowledge of the scriptures is too shallow. Yeah, so my point is that it is until you begin to realize that you are more than what you look like physically, that you begin to understand the kingdom of God. Until you accept that your real person is a spirit, you will be limited in the knowledge of God. And you'll be limited in how much we have access to in God's kingdom. Yeah. Which means that by your spirit, you should be controlling not only your body, not only your mindset, by your spirit, you should be controlling everything in your life. By your spirit, you should be controlling everything in your life. Everything in your life. By your spirit. So that is why somebody like me, I cannot afford to be defeated in the spirit. I cannot afford to be weak in the spirit. Yeah, because I know that if I am weak and defeated, every aspect of my life, both my health, my finances, my ministry, my calling, my marriage, everything will start failing and falling. Yeah. Because I understand that it is my spirit that governs every other thing in my life. Yeah. So let's look at another scripture in John chapter 3, verse 6 to 7. John chapter 3, to 7. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Yeah, this was conversation between Jesus Christ and Nicodemus, a Jewish ruler or a Jewish leader. Yeah, Jesus was telling, and of course he was also a religious teacher. Yeah, Jesus was telling him that if you are not born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. And Jesus went further to say that if you are not born again, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And Jesus said that what is going to be born again in you is your spirit. That is what Jesus told him. He said it is your spirit that will be born again. Yeah. And Jesus said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the spirit is spirit. So, in other words, fleshly things give birth to fleshly things. For instance, if a cow is to give birth, a cow will give birth to a cow. If a dog is to give birth, a dog will give birth to a dog. And then if God is to give birth, then God, who is a spirit, will give birth to a spirit. Yeah, and God giving birth is what born again means. We are born again because God gave birth to us again. He gave birth to another version of us. And that part of us that is born again is our spirit. Yeah, because God is a spirit. Yeah, God is a spirit. So if God were to give birth, he will give birth to a spirit. Yeah, so that part of you that is saved, that is born again, that is redeemed, is, so if we say that your soul, if we say that your soul is saved, yeah, we're not talking about your brain. We're not talking about your body. We're talking about even your spirit. Because your soul that is saved is not visible. It is invisible. The soul came into being after the breath of life entered into the form of man that was made from the dust of the ground. Yeah, it was the breath of life, reacting with that form of man that was made from the dust that gave birth to a soul. So even your soul is a spiritual being. Yeah, so even your soul is a spirit. Yeah, so that part of you that is saved, that is born again, is a spirit. Yeah, is a spirit. Is not physical. Is invisible. Is spiritual. Yeah, and there's no technology that can see it. There's no technology. There's no science that can see your soul and that can explain it or that can understand it. Yeah. Yeah, because even your soul is beyond the physical you. Your soul is beyond even the psychological you. Yeah. Your soul is a spirit. Yeah, so that part that is saved, that is born again, that part of it that is saved, that is born again, is a spirit. Yeah, so God is kind of recreating you into a new creature. Yeah, God is kind of recreating you. Though he had first of all created you in the Garden of Eden, but then something happened. We fell in the Garden of Eden. We're corrupt. I mean, we became corrupt. We became spiritually dead. So, but now, Jesus has come to give us a new life, to reborn us. So you are being reborn. You are being reborn at salvation. So and that is what being born again is all about. Like you being reborn. So it's more or less like God pull you into himself and then give birth to you again. Yeah, it's more or less like God picks you up and puts you inside himself, and then he now gives birth to you again. And that person that is now being give birth to is not physical. It's not a physical being that you know. Yeah, it is not this you know, this physical you that you know, this human you. It, you know, that person is completely different. Is a spirit. Yeah, just as God is a spirit. I believe you understand what I'm saying. You know, it's just like God picks up your life into himself and then give birth to you again. And then that creature that you are being given birth to is no longer the one God picked up. And that one is purely a spiritual being. So even if that one has a body, its body is a spirit. If that one has a soul, its soul is a spirit. Yeah, so God gives birth to you again to become a complete spiritual being. Yeah. So you are being, you know, you are being reborn into a spiritual being. Yeah. Let's continue. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, which many of you can even recite offhand. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Behold, all things are become new. So all things are passed away. Yeah. By whole things, we mean who you were before you met with God. Everything you were before you before you surrendered your life to Jesus. Those are the whole things. Yeah. And then the Bible says that now that you have surrendered your life to Jesus, those whole things must pass away. Yeah, because the new you is not according to those old things. Now, it says all things have become new. So you become a new person entirely. And that new creature is a spirit being. Yeah, because God is a spirit. So every time you try to cling to the old things that were in your life before you met with Jesus, what happens is that you die. Yeah, because those old things, they are not in the life that is, they are not in the life of this, of the new creature that you are now in Christ. So every time you try to go back to those old things, you die. And you die means that you lose connection with God. Yeah, and it means that you are no longer found in God's presence. You are now in darkness. You are now in death, in hell. Yeah, every time you cling to the old person that you were before you met Christ, you die. Yeah, yeah, but every time you continue in that new life that you have now received in Christ, every time you remain and continue in the new person, the new in the newness of life that you have received in Christ, you live. We talked about that during the last class in Romans chapter 8 verse 6, where I said to be carnally minded is death, and to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So from your mind, you can switch from God's kingdom into the kingdom of darkness or the kingdom of hell, or into the realm of death. Just from your mind, you can switch. So if you can switch from God's kingdom into darkness, you can also from your mind, through repentance, switch from darkness into God's kingdom. Yeah. So that is the mystery of salvation. Yeah, and don't expect that if you continue in darkness, you continue in the flesh, you continue in the nature of the old man, you continue with the old, those old things that were supposed to pass away. Don't expect that you will now inherit the kingdom of God. It's not possible. So that was why in one of my teachings I said that the people that are going to heaven, they will know that they are going to heaven, that they will make heaven. And the people that will not make heaven, that will go to hell, before they die in this head, they will know that they are going to hell. Yeah, so it's not about maybe I might be lucky and make heaven. It's not about being lucky. It's something that you will know. Except you are not born again, except you were not born again in the first place. Yeah, you will know. When you are in the light, you will know you are in the light. When you are in the darkness, you will know that you are in the darkness. Yeah. It's so real. It's so clear. Because when you are in the flesh, you will know you are in the flesh. And when you are in the spirit, you will know you are in the spirit. Yeah, when you are in purity, you will know that you are pure. And when you are in pollution, you will know that you are in pollution. So it's the same, it's just that, it's the same knowledge about entering to God's kingdom and not entering to God's kingdom. You are in the light, you are in the spirit, you are in purity. It means you will make heaven. You are, and then you are in the flesh, you are in sin, you are in pollution, you are in darkness. It means you can't make heaven. So it's so simple. Yeah, it's so simple. Now, let's look at Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, verse 21. Let's look at it. Galatians 3, okay. Yeah. I'm coming. Okay. Yeah, it says, is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given, which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. Then verse 22. But the scripture has concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Yeah. It says that if the law had given life, then righteousness would have been by the law. But righteousness is not by the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Yeah, because everyone has been condemned as, I mean, everyone, both the people that received the law in the Old Testament and unbelievers or Gentiles. Yeah. Let me use the word Gentiles, people that were not Jews. Yeah. Everyone has been condemned as sinners. The Bible says that for all have sinned and have fallen short the glory of God. Yeah. So the only way to have life and righteousness is by faith of Jesus Christ. It's by faith of Jesus Christ. Because it's only by that, by faith of Jesus Christ, will we be able to receive the promises of God. And not only that, it's only by faith of Jesus Christ which leads to salvation and righteousness. It is only by faith of Jesus Christ can we be able to also fulfill the law. Yeah, because those who were given the law could not fulfill it. Physically, they were trying to keep the Sabbath day. Don't murder, don't steal, don't commit adultery. They were trying, but their soul was dead towards God. Yeah, because they had not received the power that makes people holy. Yeah, and many of them ended up in self-righteousness. They ended up not trusting God to help them to be righteous. Yeah. So they ended up creating a form of godliness, expecting that them living a certain way would be pleasing in the sight of God, which was not. Yeah. So the salvation Jesus brought to us really has released us from the bondage of the law, from the bondage of sin, from the bondage of the flesh. So, and now we become new persons that can please God. We become new persons that can please God. I pray for you that faith of Jesus Christ that releases people from the bondage of the law, from the bondage of sin, shall work in your life in Jesus' name. I pray for you that as you walk in faith in Jesus, may the Lord change you into the person that can please Him in the name of Jesus. So now, let's look at another scripture in John chapter 8, verse 55 and 58. John chapter 8, verse 55. Yeah, John chapter 8, verse 55. Now, this was Jesus talking. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say, I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him and keep his saying. Verse 58, Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Yeah, at that point, they were going to stone him. Yeah, because they felt like he was speaking blasphemy. Yeah, so in this place, Jesus, through his own life, show us why we should walk in our real identity, why we should live this on this earth, why we should live on this earth as our real identity, as the person that we really are, not as the person you grew up to know. Yeah, not as the person you were told you are by your parents or by your family history, but we should live as new creatures. Yeah, because here Jesus was telling them who he is. But it was difficult for them to accept. It was difficult for them to believe. It was difficult for them to understand. Yeah, so which is supposed to happen in your life also. Your life should be lived in a way that people should not understand. Why? Because your life is not in agreement with the life of this world. Yeah, so your life should be lived in such a way that people won't be able to agree with you on so many things. Your life should be lived on earth in such a way that people will not be able to understand, except they have come to the same knowledge you have come to, or the same knowledge you have attained, the same salvation you have attained. So you should not expect that people agree with everything that you do as a Christian, or everything that you do and everything that you believe as a child of God. Don't expect people. In fact, if everyone begin to agree with the way you live, the way you do things, then I don't think you are a Christian. Yeah, because that was not what happened to Jesus. A lot of people were against him. A lot of people, they called him names. In this same chapter, they called him, they said he has a demon. They said he has a devil. Some, they, you know, then at the point they were saying he's crazy. Yeah, that is crazy. That is not, he's not yet 50 years old. And then he said that he has been existing before Abraham. Yeah, so they called him all manner of names. They said a lot of things about him because they can't relate to the person he is. They thought he is the person they are saying. They thought he is just the physical man they were saying. So they couldn't relate to his real identity. So your real identity is not this body, is not your brain, your mind. Your real identity is, you know, is deeper than that. Yeah, so if you're expecting that everybody agree with the way God is leading you, the way God is dealing with you, then you are just wasting your time. Yeah, because the world cannot agree with that. Yeah, even your parents, your siblings cannot agree with those things if they are not saved, if they are not also born again. They can't even understand, they can't know it, because that life is not here on earth. The life of your new of your new person, who is a spirit, is not here on earth. The understanding of that person is not here. The knowledge of that person is not here. Yeah, the civilization of that person is not here on earth. So if you're expecting that the people in your life should understand what you believe, should be able to believe what you believe, should be able to agree with your conviction as a Christian, your determination as a Christian, your understanding, your knowledge as a Christian, then you are wasting your time, and sometimes you are creating problems. If you're expecting that, sometimes you in the process create problems and limitations for yourself, because they can't understand, except they are also delivered and redeemed and saved. They can't understand. So here Jesus was telling them that this is who I am. I come from God. I'm a son of God. I've been existing even before the world was created. Even before Abraham was created, I have been. Yeah, so they were, you know, they were mad at him because they can't understand his real identity, because they can't see that real identity. So The question is, have you accept your real identity, or do you still consider this person you always look at in the mirror as the real you? Have you accepted your real identity? Or do you accept your real identity? You can't grow spiritually. You can't even know God. Because you will know God as a spirit. You cannot know God in the flesh, because God is not in the flesh. God is not in the visible, how will I put it now? God cannot be known. No, God is visible, but he cannot be known through physical or scientific knowledge. Yeah, God cannot be known through mental knowledge. Through your brain. God cannot be known through your brain. He cannot be known through science. He cannot be known through your physical senses. No. He can't be known that way. So he can only be known as the spirit. Yeah, you can only know him in the spirit and as a spirit, as a spiritual person. So if you have not accepted your real identity, who is a spirit, that means you can't know God. Yeah, that's what it means. It means you can't know God. Yeah, it means you can't see him, you can't touch him, yeah, you can't fellowship with him. If you have not accepted the fact that you are not this flesh and blood, that you are a spirit, you are a new creature that is different from what people see. And not only that, if you begin to pattern your life according to this human figure, which I call your container, this your body and mind and brain is the container of the real you. So if you are seeing the container as you, and you have patterned your life, or you are patterning your life according to this container, it means you will forever be lost from God's kingdom. And you'll forever be lost from God's purpose. You won't be able to fulfill God's purpose. Because it is not by the container that you fulfill the purpose of God in the earth. It is by the real you that you will fulfill God's purpose on earth. It is even by that real you that you will understand God's purpose on earth. Yeah, I believe so the earlier you accept your real identity, the better for your life and destiny. The earlier you accept that you are a spirit being whose life is not in this world, yeah, the better for your life and destiny. The earlier you accept that you are a new creature that is not to live according to the system of this world, that is not to live according to the mindset, the understanding of this world, that is not to be controlled by everything going on in this world, the better for you. Yeah, the better for you. So I remember that one of the things God began to deal with me on was on this issue of accepting my real identity in God. Yeah, and it was until I got it right in that point that everything about my life began to be right. I began to fall into shape. It was until I accept who I am in God. Yeah. Or maybe I should say until I discovered and accept. Yeah. That is when everything began to fall in line in my life. I mean everything. Everything. Yeah, let us look at these remaining scriptures before we round off for today. In 2 Kings chapter 2 verse 9, you can read it on your own. Let me just tell you what is there. 2 Kings chapter 2 verse 9. This was when Elisha was making a demand from Elijah, because he told him to ask whatever he wants before he will be taken away from him. This was when Elijah was going to be taken away into the kingdom of God physically. He was going to be taken or translated into heaven. Yeah. Elisha made this request. He said, I want to have a double portion of your spirit, which means that I want to be the next in line. I want to sit on your throne. That's what it means. Elisha said, I want to be the next person that will carry the grace was a man that lived his entire life in his divine identity, or as who he is in the spirit. Yeah, he don't see himself as one fugitive, is this scavenger? I don't know. I don't know what they call somebody that roams about in the bush. Somebody that just roam about in the bush and forest, that have no home, that have no place to stay. Yeah, Elijah didn't see himself as that, even though physically he had nothing, like. It's not as if he had some properties. In fact, we're told he doesn't have clothes. he just wears some, he wears just one cloth. I think the cloth was made from animal skin. Yeah. And then we're told that he even eats only one type of food, white honey, and something like that. Yeah. So, looking at Elijah physically, you might even quickly say he's a madman. I mean, looking at Elijah physically, you might think he's a madman. Yeah, because his life is completely isolated from the world. Most times he moves about in the forest, in the wilderness. People don't see him around all the time. Anytime they see him around, sometimes they are scared because sometimes troubles happen when he shows up. And not only that, even miracles happen when he shows up in the midst of people. Yeah, so they kind of respect him. But my point is that physically, you can't really see anything honorable to point to in his life. He doesn't have a house. He doesn't have a car. He doesn't have properties. He doesn't even look attractive. Yeah, he doesn't look attractive. And yeah, he only wear one clothes. And then he only eat one type of food. And then you don't see him around all the time. He just move about as the spirit like directs him. So look at I don't know the English to describe the kind of a person like that. Yeah. But in the spirit, he was a great giant. In the flesh, you can call him a nobody. But in the spirit, Elijah was a terror. Yeah, he was a great king in the spirit with a very high authority that he could bring fire literally from the skies. Yeah, not only that, he could even control the weather. So he has a very strong authority, and Elijah was aware. That Elijah knew who he is. Yeah, because Elisha knew him very well. He knew who he is. He knew his real identity in the spirit, not the physical, not that man that that has long beard and you don't always see him around. He just move about. Yeah. Elisha knew who Elijah was. He knew his real identity. Yeah, and then he saw him as one very high ranking spiritual being in the realm of the spirit, in the realm of heaven. Yeah. So that was why I was saying that I want to take that throne you have in the realm of the spirit. That was the meaning of saying, I want a double portion of your spirit. So the spirit of Elijah was a kingdom on its own. The spirit of Elijah was a kingdom on its own. So it's like Elijah was a divine king, a spiritual king in a spiritual kingdom that controls many realms, even that controls the physical realms. But physically, if you look at that man, you will not see anything attractive. You will not consider anything attractive about his life, physically. But spiritually, he was a great giant. So what am I trying to bring out here? What I'm bringing out is that how much are you doing to grow your real identity? Yeah. How much have you done to build your real identity, which is your spirit? So the spirit of Elijah was so powerful that Elijah could do certain things on his own. He doesn't have to pray to God to do them. He himself could do certain things on earth on his own. He has received authority to that point. That was why he said, "Ask me, what can I do for him?" Yeah, because he could actually do many things by his spirit. Yeah, so Elijah was a man that walked in his real identity on earth. Yeah, and history can't forget him. Yeah, so the same thing with any of you. If today you make up your mind that I want to grow my real identity, which is a spirit, I want to walk in that identity, then it's possible that God will begin to do great things through you that history will not forget you. It's possible. Yeah, before we run off, let me also read this scripture. In Josh chapter 6, verse 63. Josh chapter 6, verse 63. It is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. It is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. So if you think there is a gain in your flesh, if you think you can gain anything by walking in the flesh, you are lying. There is nothing you can gain by being carnal or by walking in the flesh. I mean, there is nothing you can gain. The Bible is right. There is nothing you can gain. Even if some of us have to get married, though not everyone need to get married. And in fact, not everyone need to have children. But even though some of us have to, the profit is just limited to this earth. Yeah. There is no marriage in heaven. Yeah, there's no giving birth of kings in heaven. There's no buying cars, all of that. None of those things are in heaven. Yeah, so truly the flesh profiteth nothing. Everything about this flesh, this body, profit nothing. I tell you the truth. They profit nothing. The only thing that profits is your spirit. It says it is the spirit that quickens, the spirit gives life. It is in your spirit that you have access to eternal life, which I've also talked about. Yeah, then let's look at the last scripture. I just want to finish with everything so that we can move to part two during the next class. And then in Galatians chapter 5, verse 17. Galatians chapter 5, 16, 17. It says, "This I say then, walk in the spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would." Galatians 5, 16 and 17. Yeah, so the flesh and the spirit, they are always against each other. And I said during the last class that your spirit is always crying for the environment God created it to function and to live. And that is a spiritual environment, a spiritual atmosphere. So your spirit is always looking for a spiritual atmosphere. And you are supposed to give your spirit that atmosphere and environment every hour in every day. So you're supposed to walk in the spirit. So if you are a spirit, then you should walk in the spirit. Yeah. If you are a spirit, you should live in the spirit. Yeah, because that is where you survive. That is where you grow. That is where you will be happy and joyful. You think money is going to make you happy? You are wrong. Money is going to make you joyful or peaceful? You are wrong. You think marriage will make you happy, joyful, and peaceful? You are wrong. Yeah. There's nothing in this world that will make your spirit happy, joyful, and peaceful. It can make your flesh excited, happy, but not your spirit. Yeah. So until you give that environment to your spirit, it will still not be able to survive. It's just as how fishes can only survive in the water. You remove them from the water, they die. Yeah. So the Bible says, walk in the spirit, not in the flesh. Walk in the spirit, and you will not be able to fulfill the desires of the flesh. So it says your spirit and your flesh, they are enemies. They are always fighting. And that is why it's not this easy for you to do what you are to do according to your divine identity, according to your real person, what you should do. You want to pray, you want to fast, you want to serve God, you want to get involved in the work of God, in the things of God. There will always be this restriction in your flesh. So the Bible is saying, don't give attention to the pull coming from the flesh. Don't give attention to those things. Walk in the spirit. Don't give attention to the temptations, to the distractions coming from the flesh and from this world, this world is the environment where your flesh want to be. Yeah. But the spirit realm is the environment your spirit wants to be. So give that environment to your spirit. And then the last thing I'll talk about, of course, that was the last scripture, the verse that we were to look at. So the last thing that I'll talk about now before we pray, yeah, is that don't expect that you will find this system of this world in the spirit. Don't expect that you will find the system of this world, the standard of this world, in the spirit, because they are not there. Yeah, I just used the life of Elijah as an example. Elijah was a powerful person that he could literally do something. As I told you, you know, he has the authority. In fact, he has authority to make food items multiply, just as what Jesus did in his days. You know, Jesus was able to supernaturally feed 5,000 men. Excluding women and children. They did not count the women and children. Jesus was able to supernaturally feed those people with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. Yeah, so Elijah had that same power too, and that same authority too. Yeah, but physically, he had nothing. I don't know if I get what I'm trying to show you here. He had the power, the authority to make things multiply. He had the power and authority to get what
anything you want. But it was just a very, physically was just maybe we can say a low class person. Yeah. Or a poor man. Yeah. I mean, Elijah was physically poor, yet he had the power to make anything happen. Yeah, in the physical realm. So what I'm saying is that don't expect the system, don't expect to see the system of this world in the realm of the spirit. Because in the realm of the spirit, they are not after the things of this world. In the realm of the spirit. I mean, the realm of the spirit of God or the realm of heaven. They are not after the things of this world. But they have power over everything. But yet they are not after the things of this world. So you don't expect to find the system of this world in the spirit. No. Yeah, because as Elijah was, he was comfortable the way he was, because that is his destiny. That was his purpose, to live that way. Yeah. So he was comfortable and he was not feeling pained. He was not feeling pained by saying, oh, why would God say I should be eating only one type of food? Why would God say I should not have clothes? I should just be going about with this one clothes. Yeah, he has embraced his destiny, because his destiny is connected to his identity in God. Yeah, though that destiny look like foolish to the people of the world, but it's not foolish to Elijah. Elijah was enjoying that lifestyle of living in the wilderness, living in the forest. Elijah was enjoying it because that was his destiny. Yeah, that was his calling. So don't expect to find the system of this world. So some people, they feel like, God is not faithful until he blesses me with a car. You know, some Christians feel like God is not faithful until he builds houses for me. God is not faithful until he does this for me. It's because you have not found the kingdom of God yet. You have not found your real identity yet. If you have found your real identity, you will know that your real identity does not need those things you are looking for to be fulfilled. Your real person in God does not need a car to feel fulfilled, does not need marriage to feel fulfilled. Your real identity does not need to have, a lot of money to feel fulfilled. Yeah, because it's a different system in the realm where your real person is. It's a different system there. It's not the same with the system here. Yeah, I hope you have understanding. So until you accept these things, these facts, you keep living in confusion as a Christian. Yeah. And even the things we are running after, the marriage, the money, the properties, the riches, the wealth, you might not even get them eventually. Yeah. So I'm going to stop here. Yeah. I'm going to stop here. I'm not trying to say that God will not bless Christians with beautiful things. But your life is not, if God is going to bless you with beautiful things, your life is not in those things. Your joy must not be in those things. Your peace must not be in those things. Your comfort, your satisfaction must not be in those things, because your real person does not find pleasure and satisfaction in those things. Your real personality, spirit, does not find pleasure in those things. So usually, if God blesses you, it is always connected to His purpose for your life. It's connected to assignment, what He wants you to use those blessings to do. So God's blessing is always connected to God's purposes, not your purposes, God's purposes. Yeah. May God give you understanding. If you have questions, you can still ask on the Telegram platform, and I will answer. Let us pray. Father, we thank you because you are so faithful. And thank you for showing us who we are in you. Thank you, Lord, for showing us that our real persons are not this flesh and blood and brain and spinal cord. Our real persons are inside of you. Thank you for showing us these things. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. Lord, I ask for as many that have had this teaching that are willing to go on an adventure with your Holy Spirit, that are willing to seek you, that you may show them more of these truths, that you may show them who they really are and why you have placed them in this earth. I ask, oh God, that you give such people grace in the name of Jesus. I pray for you that you will find grace to know by the Holy Spirit who you are in God and in Christ. And I also pray for you that you will find grace to accept that person that you are in Christ. And I also pray for you that you will find grace to live every second of your life on earth, not as this person you see in the mirror, but as the person that you are in Christ. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, because we know you have answered. In Jesus' name, I have prayed. Amen. Amen.